So with this week's topic being self-compassion, we're moving out of the Satipatthana Sutta, which we've been in the last three meetings, and we're moving into the Brahmaviharas, or the four divine abodes, or also called the four virtues. And we're going to be talking about the first two primarily, those being loving-kindness, or metta, and compassion, or karuna. And if you don't know the differences between those two, the metta is when we have wishes for someone's happiness or well-being, someone else or our own, whereas karuna or compassion has more to do with empathy, feeling for another, but also hoping, or also feeling for ourselves, and hoping for there to be a lessening of suffering, really. And what's interesting about these two is that there's actually been research on this where they have had people focus on empathy only, and then also on compassion, where we're wanting to have the person suffer less. And in the brain, the circuitry is activated when you think about just empathy, when we're just feeling for someone else. The brain circuitry acts up or is activated in the pain area, believe it or not, the pain circuitry. Whereas if you're actually moving into compassion, where we're envisioning hope and the person suffering to be less, that actually activates the pleasure sensors in our brain. Isn't that remarkable? So if we actually move to a place of compassion, it is an easier experience, and we don't necessarily get overwhelmed by someone else's pain or even our own. So that's an interesting, brain research that's basically validating what Buddhists have known for a really long time. Loving-kindness, as you might know, the Buddha teaches is a remedy for aversion or ill will. So if we're having a hard time, having aversion to something, loving-kindness is a good meditation to utilize. And then specifically tonight, we'll be talking about Maitri being the Sanskrit word for self-compassion, loving-kindness for the self. So I wanted to bring in just a little bit of Buddha's words as well, the Buddha's words, the suttas. If you're not familiar with studying the suttas, a book that you might want to get, which is a really nice primer for that, is called In the Buddha's Words, and this is by Bhikkhu Bodhi, who's a prolific translator of the suttas and all things Dharma. And I want to just read in this, he says, "The practice of meditation is not only the heart of the path to liberation, but is a source of merit in its own right. Wholeness meditation, or wholesome meditation, practices, even those that do not directly lead to insight, help to purify the grosser levels of mental difficulties. He declares that the type of meditation that is most fruitful for the production of mundane merit is the development of loving kindness." And then from the suttas themselves, this is a sutta of the development of loving kindness. This is the Buddha talking. "Monks, whatever grounds there are for making merit productive for a future birth, all these do not equal a 16th part of the liberation of the mind except for loving kindness. The liberation of mind by loving kindness surpasses them and shines forth bright and brilliant." And I have to apologize, I'm having allergies. So I'll be clearing my throat. I'll try not to do it in the microphone. "Just as the radiance of all the stars does not equal a 16th part of the moon's radiance, but the moon's radiance surpasses them and shines forth bright and brilliant, even so, whatever grounds there are for making merit in this life, all practices do not equal a 16th part of the liberation of mind, except for loving kindness. The liberation of mind by loving kindness surpasses them and shines forth bright and brilliant." So the sutta tells us that the Buddha really highly praised and highly focused on loving kindness as one of the meditations that we should really bring into our practice as much as possible, is my interpretation of it. And I always advocate a somatic focus of loving kindness. As some of you are familiar, we often do metta phrases when we're working on that for ourselves. And I always, if you've seen me teach it, I always want us to focus on the body, and as each phrase is heard by ourselves as we say it or when someone else says it, that we feel it in the body and the effect it has on us. so that we embody the experience ultimately. So self-compassion or loving kindness towards ourselves is a crucial element in our emotional healing. Right? As you know, this whole series of four talks is about meeting emotional suffering with awareness. And self-compassion, I waited till the last one to do this one because so many of us have a hard time with this piece. Right? We've talked about how to know what we're thinking, how to label thoughts, how to move from the mind into the body, and staying with our suffering as it shows up. And if we do that in and of itself, just that, it's helpful. But if we bring in loving kindness and compassion simultaneously with that, then a healing can occur. There's a softening that it can occur. Without it, it's very difficult. So oftentimes many of us have a harsh critic that comes in. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but sometimes we're doing an inner process, we're trying to be with our pain, or we're trying to be in meditation, and then we judge ourselves. Like there's a judgmental thought, I should say, that arises, and then we judge ourselves for having the judging thought, right? So it can really just go around and around. And so noticing when this comes in, and I find it helpful to notice even where those judgmental thoughts might come from. Noticing, where have I heard this voice before? Does this sound like my childhood and someone talking to me? Does this sound like my partner who criticizes me about this and that? Like, where does it come from? And know that oftentimes there's a mirroring effect, that how we might judge ourselves oftentimes comes out to other people, and vice versa. How we judge other people somehow or another also comes in too. There's a way that they both are interlinked somehow. And I find that the more we work on judging ourselves, it's so much easier than to not judge everyone else. So we've heard this before, but starting here inside ourselves is always the best policy. Oftentimes with self-compassion or self-judgment, there's an identity aspect that is part of our experience, right? Where we incorporate potentially negative messages about ourselves, and we identify with those. There's some traditions that call this like the cracked identity, or some people will say our core negative beliefs about ourselves. And this is very important to work on this. For those of you who are familiar with the Enneagram, you'll know more about what I'm about to talk about. But all of our personality structure, our egoic structure, or you could say our conditioning, it's all a defense structure to keep us safe, to keep us protected. It's what it's supposed to do, although it creates so much suffering for us. And at the core of this structure is almost always a very simple belief that's negative about ourselves. And if you can figure out what that is, then when you're suffering and you can work back your thoughts to that, it is so helpful. So let me think of an example from my life that might be helpful for you. Really, you can do it with almost any time suffering occurs. So let me see. So recently I was visiting friends in Portland, and there was someone there that was having our interactions, where conflict was arising in our interactions. So when the conflict arises, what happens for me is I have a thought, I oftentimes have a judgmental thought about them. If they would just stop doing what they're doing, I would be so much better, right? So judgmental thought comes up. But if I move away from that thought and I just go to my inner experience, I know that there's a way where when they do what they do, I start to feel bad about myself on some level. There's suffering there, there's pain, some hurt, and almost always it's going to go back to some level of I'm not okay. There's this belief inside me somewhere that kind of expands out to the rest of my personality structure. And so when you find out what yours is, it is so helpful to have that. And so the handouts I gave to you tonight, those are an exercise which you can do later, which facilitates this process. And just for a moment, I want you to notice the first page says, working with our negative core beliefs. And the second page, on page 124, it has these possibilities, right? And you can just look at this page right now and just see if any of these kind of jump out at you. I'm not good enough. I'm stupid. I am a fraud, I'm unwanted, I'm not normal, I'm defective, I'm helpless, I'm bad, worthless, weak, a failure, incapable, unlovable, unimportant, and powerless. So on some level, these are all possible core negative beliefs about who we are as people. Just see if there's one of them here that kind of just jumps out at you and maybe pulls on your heartstrings more than others. And then later on, you can go back and do this for yourself later. This is coming from the book, The Mindful Self-Compassion Workbook. So this is a really lovely workbook if you want to do more of this work. And several of the parts of meditation we'll be doing today are from this book if you'd like to experience that more yourself. So one good thing to think about this is that as humans, a lot of our experience is truly not personal, it's universal. It feels so personal as if it has to do with us completely. But it's just the way the mind works. It's the way thoughts hinder us. It's the way we have belief structures. And we all have shadow aspects as well. So before I was talking about we have parts of ourselves that we find acceptable, and then parts of ourselves, I think of this as a circle. Circle being wholeness, all of who we are. And there's a line here in the middle. Above that line are all the things that we've deemed acceptable in our lives and in our persons, and then the ones below are the things we find unacceptable. And I want you to have a sense of this, so you can do this in your mind, in your head, or if you have a piece of paper. I'd like you to make a list of some of your favorite virtues or qualities, the things that you like about yourself. And if you're doing this in your mind, you can just think of three. Just think of 3 to 5 things about yourself that you really like. Okay, hopefully you found at least 3 that you like. And now I'd like you to make a list of the opposite of those. At least those 3.
The opposite of words?
Yeah, so if you thought of... Yeah, so I'll give you an example. If I thought what I like about myself is that I'm trustworthy, the opposite would be untrustworthy. Okay, so the list of things that are the opposite of what you like about yourself, it's very possible that those things are in the shadow part of yourself, or what's deemed unacceptable. What might have been deemed unacceptable in your family of origin and what you took on is things that you don't really like about yourself, or you don't like it when someone else has that. And so today I want to present the topic to you, the orientation that all the parts of you that you don't really like, that we want to try to find ways to move towards them with more gentleness, with more kindness, and learn to love them as well as the other parts that we have a hard time with inside ourselves. You know, meditation is not a path to perfection. Buddhism is not a path to perfection. It's a path to wholeness. It's about learning to incorporate all aspects of ourselves, that when any aspect of ourself arises, that we can be with it. Let it be as it is and understand it, and ideally to have kindness towards it and even potentially love for it. So oftentimes, compassion has to do with understanding what these other aspects of ourselves are. And we do have innate capacity for compassion. For compassion as humans, we have a natural caretaking tendency, and when we develop more compassion or in touch with that more readily, we actually can strengthen that caretaking tendency of ours. And it also is part of the mammalian care system neurologically, so that when we move into a place of compassion for ourselves or others, it also helps that fight or flight response that we talked about weeks earlier. It just helps to take the system down to a more calm level. Mindfulness asks, what am I experiencing? And self-compassion asks, what do I need? Right? So for those of you who are tired tonight, what am I experiencing? What is the mindfulness practice? I'm tired, I'm exhausted in my body. And then the compassion is, oh, maybe I need to rest. You know, it's a way where we move into a place of helping ourselves. So to cultivate self-compassion, one aspect is recognizing that we really do have more information about ourselves than anyone else on the planet, right? We know why we do more than anyone else. If we're able to see it with clarity and with honesty, without the interpretations of the mind, if we just go to the facts. And it is helpful to use this information to increase our understanding of why certain aspects of ourselves arise. And remember, all of us as humans have every possible human experience. So all of us here, even though we might deem this as in the unacceptable area, all of us have anger, we all have resentment, we all have despair, we all have joy, if that's hard for you. We all have murderous urges, we all have sexual abuse urges, like all the things that are available in humanity, we have inside ourselves. And when we see someone else have one of these things, and we're appalled by it, or we at least have some aversion to it, almost guaranteed that's an area of yourself that you're having a hard time also loving. So that's a really good practice, that whenever you get triggered by anyone else, is to actually realize, oh, what are they showing me that's hard for me to maybe accept inside myself? That's a really great practice for partners especially. They would be very much appreciate that, although we don't really want to do it in the moment. Also, it's helpful to recognize that we oftentimes have higher standards for ourselves and other people. Have you noticed that? You know, we have more compassion for other people, but when we do it, it's so much more difficult. So this really is about learning how to be open and non-judgmental towards ourselves as well as others. In the Mahayana tradition, oftentimes it's talked about that we all have Buddha nature, so that if you move back the mind activities and the egoic activities that want to push things away or grab onto them, and you're just in a place of calm and stillness, a place of just awareness, then we are more in touch with our true nature, our Buddha nature. And in that place, naturally arises compassion, love, clarity, strength, all the things that we have available to ourselves when we're doing well. But when we're triggered, right, or when we're reactive, then the mind is clearly taken over, and then something else, those occlude that. So that's also a wonderful way to think about this, is that you can think about cultivating compassion. There's also a way that if you simply move the obstructions away, it's more easy to simply be present for it and to have it be accessible. I find that very inspiring. It helps give me hope for that. So the definition of self-compassion. So self-compassion is oftentimes treating ourselves the way we treat our best friend. Right? So if a good friend called you and said they had a breakup, and you really wouldn't tell them, right? Something like, well, you know, it's probably because of your body or your age, and you know, you're really no good anyway, so why even try, right? So we would never tell that to a good friend, but we tell that to ourselves, right? When someone breaks up with us, how often do we think, oh, this is because of my body, it's because of my age, it's because of this, it's because, oh, it's, I shouldn't even try anymore. So it's amazing how we truly do not treat ourselves in the way we do treat a good friend. So think about that as an orientation that, I want to treat myself the way I treat a really good friend. Self-compassion is comprised of three aspects from the way I see it. One of them is an acknowledgement of common humanity in our experience, right? That there's a universality to all experience. There's an interconnectedness of all humans. We're interconnected with everyone on some level. Everyone fails. Everyone suffers, right? No one is beyond that. So suffering is a shared experience. So just recognizing that is the first part of self-compassion. The second part is one of just self-kindness. Offering yourself warmth or kindness or support or encouragement, all those things that we can ideally find a place for ourselves. And the last part's mindfulness, where we know what our suffering is with clarity and with honesty. And we know how it shows up for us in the body, ideally at the time. That you don't minimize it or exaggerate it. You simply know it as it is. And also to be with your suffering long enough so that you can find understanding for it, and then ideally kindness around that. Where you're suffering, for instance, and you're thinking, oh my God, this is with me so often. I can't believe how much this is with me, and I know why this is here, because, you know, my family had this as role modeling for me. I know where it comes from, or I know that I've had these series of events happen, and that's, of course, why I'm having this. That can build in that understanding to bring in compassion, finally, towards the end. One last aspect is forgiveness. So oftentimes we have to work on forgiveness to have self-compassion. So I would like to give you 5 steps on how to work with forgiveness, if that's something you need to look at before you can be with self-compassion. One is that you want to be able to open up fully to the pain of it. Oftentimes with forgiveness or situations where we need to either forgive someone else or forgive ourselves, we don't actually want to go to the hurt as much. So open up to the pain completely as much as possible. The next is the wisdom part. So you sit, know that the situation is not entirely personal, that there are consequences of many interdependent causes. So, you know, when something happens, there's all these causes and conditions. If we do something we're trying to forgive ourselves for, you know, there's reasons why we ended up acting the way we did, whether it was the situation was part of it, our family history, how we were feeling in the moment, what resources internally and externally we had to do what we needed to do. And we also still need to take responsibility for the action, but there are oftentimes reasons why it's understandable. The next part is self-compassion, where we allow warmth to come into our being if possible. So again, that's opening to the pain. The next one is wisdom around that the situation is not entirely personal. It's up to consequences and conditions of all sorts. The third is self-compassion, finding warmth. The fourth is an intention to forgive yourself or forgive someone else. Just to have the intention. Lastly, a responsibility to protect. So this is really around committing to not repeating the same behavior, or asking for the other person to commit to not repeating the same behavior. And the last one is making amends, whether you make amends to someone else or they make amends to you, ideally. This could be a whole Dharma talk, so I'm giving you 5 steps for tonight. And then one other practice, which I haven't mentioned, is, you know, it's oftentimes I'll have people think about, okay, if you're having a hard time having self-compassion for yourself in this situation, think about someone else that you love in the same exact situation. And almost always we can find compassion for them, and then you can generalize it over back to yourself. That's one practice you can do. Okay. So that is all that I have you for the Dharma talk for today. So I wanted to open this up for questions first. Okay, so feel free to place yourself back into your preferred meditation posture. Feeling the connection that you have with the floor, with your cushion, with the chair. Allowing your spine to rise up from the pelvis, vertebra by vertebra. Allowing your interception, your internal sense of sensation of your body to guide you to what feels erect and yet relaxed. Allowing the head to balance on the shoulders, on top of the spine. Allowing your eyes to be closed or open with a downward gaze. Resting your hands where they're comfortable for you. Taking stock of how your body is right now. Noticing any sensations or emotions or thoughts. And tonight's meditation is going to be very different than what we've done before in this series. We're going to do several practices that help promote self-compassion. I invite you at this time to remember a time when someone treated you very kindly and with compassion. Remembering how it felt to have someone else be compassionate towards you or be kind towards you. And notice how the body responds to that memory. Allowing yourself to notice your breathing. The second practice is called affectionate breathing, where you notice how the body, the whole of the body, moves with the breath. There are subtle movements throughout our body when we breathe. And notice how the body is actually nourished by the in-breath and helps relax with the out-breath. As if you're taking in nourishment with the in-breath, feeling that in every cell of the body as it goes through it, and where relaxation can occur everywhere as you breathe out. See if you can feel the natural rhythm of your body's breath, like movement of the sea, like waves of the ocean that just move through. Just letting your body breathe itself. Do what it does naturally. Allowing the whole body to internally be caressed by the rhythm of the breath. simply be breathing everywhere. Now moving into the hands on heart practice. If you feel comfortable, place both of your hands over your heart or in the middle of your chest. If it doesn't feel comfortable, you can keep them wherever they are. And see if you can feel the warmth of your hands. See if you can just simply enjoy pure sensation of warmth as you feel one hand on top of the other. Or feel hands wherever they are in your body. And then notice the gentle pressure of the hands in the body. This focus on sensation brings us to the present moment more easily and away from the mind. And feel, if they are on your chest, feel the rise and fall of your chest beneath your hands as you breathe. Or if they're resting on your legs, you can still feel the movement in your body as you breathe. And if this feels comfortable for you, now allowing one of your hands to move onto your belly, so you're feeling your heart and your belly simultaneously. Just notice the difference of those two sensations and how they feel to you. Noticing if any emotions come up as you feel your touch on yourself. And you can place the second hand on your belly too, if that feels okay to do. And just notice what that feels like to hold your belly. Noticing how the body responds to touch in a different area. Now again, if you feel comfortable raising one of your hands up and putting it on the cheek, on your cheek, on the side of your face. Noticing that soothing caress of your face. Feeling the gentle touch there. And then allowing the second hand to come up on the other side of your face so that you're actually just cradling your face now. Just noticing how that feels. To cradle yourself. Taking them down so that you're have your hand on your arms, hands on arms, and just gently stroking your arms, seeing what that feels like. Only doing everything that feels right to you. Feel free to just sit quietly if it doesn't feel quite right. And then crossing your arms and giving yourself a very gentle tug, or hug, excuse me, gentle hug. And then going back to any of these positions that feels the most nurturing for you. And when you're ready, just relax your hands to whatever posture is good for you. And you can keep them on your heart too, that's fine, or wherever you have them. And now we're going to move into a bodhicitta practice where we focus on the heart area or the middle of the chest, the place where we hold compassion the easiest, it seems, or can locate it and access it most easily. As we've done before, noticing first, how does the outside edge of your chest or your heart feel? What sensation is on the front part of this area? Does it feel tight or numb or heavy or warm or open? Just notice. And going deeper in to the middle of your heart space or in the middle of your chest, what sensations are there? There might not be anything there, or might just feel numb, or it might feel very different compared to the front, or the same. Now go all the way to the back, all the way to the back part of your chest, towards the spine, the back of your heart. How does it feel there? Now using the breath, allowing you to breathe into your chest or breathing into your heart. And with each in-breath, noticing what is there. And with each out-breath, softening and relaxing what is there. Just having the intention of this is all that's necessary. You can breathe in and notice any tenseness, any blockages, whatever is there. With each out breath, imagining those softening or moving aside. as you focus on your heart or on the middle of the chest, see if you can find any warmth or compassion or any kindness that is present there. Any softness. If you're primarily experiencing space or emptiness, see if within the space or the emptiness you can find compassion or kindness or softness or warmth. If you need to, you can remember that situation that I had you think about in the beginning, where someone was being kind to you or showing you compassion, and how that made your body feel. The warmth that maybe arose during that time. And see if you can find that for yourself here now. Remembering your history, remembering the suffering that you've experienced. Understanding what you have been through and that what you might still be experiencing now, today, in the current situation. See if you can find warmth or kindness for yourself for all of that. And now, thinking back to that list that you made of any parts of you that are difficult to accept, difficult to find compassion or love for, think of just one aspect of yourself that is difficult to accept and love. And I want you to either find that in yourself, or you can, even if you need to, just imagine that part of you outside of you, say like 3 feet in front of you, as if you could see yourself behaving with that aspect or having that experience. Or if that's difficult, you can also experience or imagine someone that does do that behavior that's so difficult for you, and imagine them being in front of you, or 3 feet in front of you. Just some representation of this part of you, a part of them that's so difficult to be with, so difficult to have compassion for. And if the imagining 3 feet in front of you doesn't work for you, you can simply kind of locate it or imagine it inside your body. That's fine too. Now I'd like you to try to find some compassion inside your heart space, some kindness, some warmth, as if you could actually just invite that out into that part of yourself that's in front of you or inside of you, with some understanding of why that might be there, with some compassion that all beings have this, all humans have this, all beings suffer. Allowing your kindness for yourself and this aspect to be felt. And lastly, just holding all of you in your mind's eye or in your heart, giving yourself compassion or kindness for every aspect of who you are, what you are, all the parts of you that you love easily, all the parts of you that are so difficult to accept, having this whole view of yourself. Allowing yourself simply being with all parts. Finding more kindness, more compassion. And we can use metaphrases as well. May I feel more kindness towards myself. May I feel more kindness towards myself. May I find more peace. May I feel more peace for myself. May I accept this part of myself that is hard to accept more and more. May I accept all parts of myself. May I be with myself as I am. May I be with myself as I am. With whatever arises. May I feel more ease of body and mind. May I have more ease of body and mind. May all beings have ease of body and mind. May all beings have ease of body and mind. May I have more peace every day. May I have more peace every day. With each breath, may all beings be at peace. May all beings be at peace.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.